Vashon Aircraft is exhibiting at AirVenture 2018 for the first time with a Vashon Ranger, a special light sport aircraft with an interesting story around how it's priced, how it's built, and how it's expected to be used. Amy Bellesheim is their director of marketing. Amy, welcome to Oshkosh.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I mentioned the story behind the company. We'll get to the airplane in a minute. In fact, I'm going to ask you to take me inside. But tell me what's behind the company. Your founder is somebody we already know in GA, particularly in experimental.
Yep. John Terode is our CEO. You might have heard of him before. He also is the CEO for Dynon Avionics. We are two totally separate companies, but this is the first time that we've actually been here, and we just opened our doors in March of this year. So we're really excited to be here, and we've got airplanes to sell.
So the airplane we're talking about is the Vashon Ranger. And it is, as I mentioned earlier, an SLSA. So maximum gross weight is 1,320 pounds. It's a two-place airplane. There are four of them here at the booth. They all look a little bit different. How do you expect it to be bought and used?
Well, we actually want it to be a utility, you know, fun airplane to just go have a $100 hamburger. We're trying to make it fun for everyone. We want the airplane to be used for flight schools, you know, training, camping. It's an adventure plane. You know, the whole purpose of the plane was so that you could go out and get dirty in nature and get back in the airplane and not feel like you have to clean your boots off, you know. It's like the Sky Jeep. We wanted it to be, you know, useful for any occasion.
Do you see it being used in training also?
Oh yeah, we've got quite a bit of interest from flight schools, mainly because the cost is, you know, so low that they're able to operate it, you know, lower than a 150. Lots of good reasons to use it for flight training, mainly because of cost.
So here's a couple of things I notice as I look at it, and we're going to bring in Ken Kruger, who's the head of design. I read it's got a Continental O200 engine, it's a tricycle gear with a castering nose wheel, it's high wing, it's got a sort of a thickening fuselage tapering back to the empennage, and it looks a lot like a Cessna 162.
In certain ways, yeah. You'll notice that the 162 has a strut, whereas we have a cantilever wing, and there's some definite reasons for that. The light sport rule puts airplanes in a pretty tight design space, so it's not horribly surprising that once you select a particular configuration, high wing, low wing, tri-gear, tail dragger, you know, tandem, side by side, you know, once you've kind of made those kind of fundamental decisions, the planes are going to end up looking not unlike one another.
Now, one interesting thing here is that you're already selling these for under $100,000, and I know that you're working hard to hold on to that price point. I have read that there are some interesting things, some different things that you do about the way the aircraft is built to hold on to that price point. Could you kind of talk us through that? Because that's a great part of the story.
Sure, yeah. It is kind of fun. And so if in a factory environment, machine time is, of course, valuable, but we want to but given the cost of labor today in the United States, and particularly in Seattle area, we really need to pay attention to the number of man hours required to assemble the airplane. So the design intent is to do as much work, have the machines do as much work as we can, and then the people, the humans, do what they do best, and that is to bring the parts together and do the assembly, and to minimize those assembly man hours. Right from the beginning all the way through to the end, we've kind of focused on novel and innovative ways to do those things. So one example is, of course, the painted metal. That's right out front. At first, I'll be very candid with you, John Terode, the owner of the company, had this vision for if we bring in painted metal and we'll be able to save the time and expense of painting. I thought it was the craziest idea in the world, and I'm glad to be proven wrong because it's pretty cool. So that's one of the things that you think about, the amount of time it takes to prep the metal surfaces and then the spray and, you know, all the environmental considerations there. So
you cut it with a robot, you drill it with a robot, you paint it before you assemble it.
The sheet metal before the robot, the CNC machine, ever handles it. It comes in as pre-painted sheet, and the paint is protected with a vinyl coating. And so we've learned the nuances of that. We've learned the nuances of having the parts dimpled by the robot, even the parts that get hydropress form. So that's a kind of a fun little trick we learned how to do there. And it really even begins before that with the computer modeling, where the computer tools are amazing today, where we can design every hole and every part, and we know where they go, and we can tell the machines to produce it that way.
So you're reducing time and you're reducing labor in terms of assembly. Have you seen assembly time drop as you've kind of gotten used to it?
Yes, and that's really kind of the heart of what we're the phase that we're at right now. We've worked for a number of years to get the design right, and of course with an eye towards manufacturing. And kind of where we are now is we're learning, now that we've got the design pretty well solidified, now we're learning, okay, now it's time to build this thing and get smarter and learn where and how to get those man hours out. One of the fun things that's happened is we built the airplane here, which is our production prototype, and it took this much time. And so then the next four come down, and it seems like it's really a long time, but those four airplanes have come down in terms of assembly hours, and the next four, even the guys doing the assembly are going, yeah, this is going so much better. So I think we'll see those man hours continue to shrink.
Are you thinking at all about doing a kit version?
No, not at all. Number of reasons for that. The plane was designed from the get-go to be assembled in a factory environment, and I point to the wing as one of the big things that would never work in a shop for a home builder. It's 9 meters long. It's just inches under 30 feet long. And here in America, we have large shops. Not everybody would have a 30-foot garage or shop, but you can't count on that. So a home-built airplane is necessarily designed around a smaller shop.
I mentioned earlier it's got a Continental O200 engine in it. That's a choice that doesn't take advantage of some of the latest things that have happened in GA airplane engines. What's the thinking there?
The thinking with the O200 is it is a known quantity. It will appeal to kind of traditionalists in the light aircraft world. Its virtue is its simplicity and its reliability. There are no, as with our lives, every decision has consequences, and the following decisions, our lives are a series of difficult decisions. And aircraft design is the same thing, you just wring your hands over certain things, and pluses and minuses all the way around.
Ken, thanks so much for spending time with us, and I'm going to walk over and get in the airplane with Amy.
Why don't you hop in the pilot seat here, and I'll just stand behind you. That way you can see what we're doing here, and I'll kind of walk you through the cockpit.
Sure.
So one thing you'll notice is the seat is fixed, so you can't move the seat, but the rudder pedals move to you. And one of the things that we were really adamant about this airplane is to making it fit any shape and size. So if you're short like me, I like to sit high in the seat, so I add a couple cushions underneath the seat. We have some triangular shape, wedge cushions that bring you up a little bit. And then of course I'm only 5'6", so I bring the rudder pedals as far forward as you can, and that's a really comfortable position for me. For someone like you who's a little bit taller, we can push the rudder pedals forward, give you a little more room.
So there are struts diagonally that go from the upper corners of the view out front down to the center. Those are fuel lines, right?
Yeah, there's fuel lines in here, and then this is also the structure itself.
And the panel has one large LCD and zero round gauges.
Yep, exactly. Everything from the circuit breakers are electric.
Two sticks, rather, one for each. Plenty of headroom, really more than I would have expected.
Yeah, we got plenty of headroom here, and like I said, you'd have to adjust your seat height in order, if you were tall, we can move you down. If you're short, we can move you up.
Now, I think I read that the seats fold back so you can sleep in here.
Yeah, the seats fold forward 90 degrees. We'll take out the cushions here. The whole thing folds forward, and if you get, some comfy blankets and stuff, you can put them right down and sleep. Two people can fit in here. And Ken is 6'3", and he fits perfectly.
Toe brakes?
Yep, we have toe brakes.
And the front wheel, the nose wheel is castoring, right?
Yes.
So I got to tell you, it's very comfortable. And in closing the door, there's plenty of room side to side.
Oh, yeah. You and I will probably have almost a foot of shoulder room. And it's really nice to have that, especially flying cross country, especially doing training. When I was teaching in a 150, you're squished up against the guy next to you. And this one, you're able to just move your shoulders out and just feel really comfortable and relaxed.
So Ken Kruger's come back over, head of design. So it's certainly very comfortable to sit in. There's plenty of space. How many of these do you think you can make a month?
Oh, boy. We're currently at less than five a month now. Of course, the potential is there to build as many as the market will demand, but it's going to be a process getting up to whatever that ultimate rate is. If you talk to John Turode, he's got some pretty ambitious ideas as to how many we can build a month, and I think he's as we learn how to build them, I think we'll get the machines and the people and the facility in place to grow with that demand and that ability to punch them out real quick.
So that's Ken Kruger, head of design for Vashon Aircraft, and we've been talking also with Amy Bellesheim, head of marketing. Thanks for being with us on EA Radio, talking about the Vashon Ranger exhibiting for the first time at AirVenture 2018. For EA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.